Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, March 24th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Flexible work schedules have been an important recruiting tool for companies to find new employees, not to mention a way to keep the peace among existing staff who weren't ready to return to their desks full-time. Fast forward, and now companies see remote work as a liability, and they want workers back in the office.
Some companies aren't in the same growth mode that they were at this time 6 months ago or a year ago, and so the recruiting advantage is less of an enticement. Instead, they're focused more on efficiency.
Coming up, we'll talk to WSJ On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
As pandemic restrictions eased and offices opened back up, companies embraced the idea of employees working a hybrid schedule. But now, some companies that once praised remote working frown upon it, and it's raising tensions between companies and their workers. WSJ columnist Callum Borchers looked into this issue in his latest On the Clock column, and he joins me now. Hey, Callum, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, JR.
You know, Callum, most offices have opened up by now, but the ability to work remotely, or at least work a hybrid schedule, that's pretty much become a way of life for many employees.
It certainly has, and it's not something that they're willing to give up easily, JR, because, of course, you save on the commute time, maybe you don't have to pay for parking. There's a lot of conveniences that come with being able to work from home, and so we do still see a really high demand for workers to have this flexibility. And at the same time, we see some companies kind of souring on this idea for a few reasons.
But wasn't it not long ago when we saw companies touting kind of a checkerboard schedule, you know, maybe 3 days in the office, 2 days at home? What's caused that to shift?
Right. And remember, some of the reasons the company said they liked it was, well, we could recruit talent from all over the place, right? That's going to be a recruiting advantage for us if we're not just focused on the local market. But now, of course, one thing that's changed is the labor market starting to cool off. There's a lot of talk of a possible recession. And because of that, some companies aren't in the same growth mode that they were at this time 6 months ago or a year ago. And so the recruiting advantage is less of an enticement. Instead, they're focused more on efficiency. That's sort of the buzzword that we keep hearing come up at a lot of these companies.
It sounds like there are strong arguments on both sides of this issue.
It is. And it's something that companies were willing to tolerate when they felt like there was enough of a payoff. But right now, some managers are telling me they're getting kind of sick of it. And of course, to be fair, I mean, there are plenty of bosses, too, who really never liked this remote idea. It was something they felt they had to give as an allowance to workers when the labor market was at its very, very tightest.
Yeah. And you spoke to some company leaders who are dealing with this redrawing of work rules. How's that going?
Well, they tell me they're getting some resistance from their teams, as you might guess. A fellow named Alan Jones comes to mind. He's the founder and CEO of an HR company in LA called Bambi. He's got about 175 employees. They're not all local, but most of them are. And he said, look, I gathered the team recently and told them I'm inclined to bring y'all back 5 days a week. I think that's really the way that we'll work the best. And he said the team was up in arms. People did not like that idea. So he's basically made a deal where he said, all right, we'll do 3 days in the office and I'll preserve 2 work from home days. And I'll even throw in a third one over the summer if you can keep it. But you got to show me the productivity doesn't drop off. And so this experiment has been going on for a while. And unfortunately, what he reports to me is that when it comes to signing up new subscribers for their software and HR management service, it's common to see a 30% dip on the days when everybody is at home. So right now, he's looking at the numbers and saying, this isn't working really well, and it's kind of confirming my suspicions.
So wait, the chance to work from home and enjoy summer from the backyard, that might not happen?
It may not. I said to him, Alan, so what are the chances here that you're actually going to get these summer Fridays at home? And he said, well, I don't want to preempt anything I would say to the team. So he wouldn't tell me what the timeline is. I take it there's maybe a little bit more of an improvement period, a little more runway. It is still just March. But I think that, you know, come summer, if folks want to be working from home on Fridays, they really need to crank up the effort. I think one of the things that I heard from managers was it really is kind of an effort issue in their minds. And they feel like people had maximum effort at the height of the pandemic, partly because it was this sort of acute moment. It was a global crisis. A lot of companies were failing. That was sort of a special lightning in a bottle thing, is the way Mr. Jones put it to me. But it's hard to sustain that over the long haul. And now that there's a bigger sample size, you see some business leaders saying, we're just not as productive as we were 2 years ago.
Now, Callum, a moment ago, you mentioned the recruiting of workers. The opportunity to work remotely emerged as a hallmark of the fierce competition among companies over the past 2 years to bring in workers. Where do things stand now?
Yeah, this is a great measurable, JR, because it tells you whether companies still feel like this is something that they need to offer. And increasingly, the answer is no. So if you look at LinkedIn's data, a year ago, about 20% of the listings on LinkedIn were for fully remote positions, 1 in 5. Well, now that number is about 12%. So you're talking more like 1 in 8 positions. The demand for those roles is still very high. I mean, LinkedIn tells me that slightly more than half of the applications that come in on its platform are for those remote positions. So people really are hungry for that remote flexibility. But of course, what that tells you is that they're very, very competitive, right? And companies feel like they have a little bit more leverage. They're able to say, this is an in-office job, or at least this is a hybrid job where there is some face time required. And although people are clamoring for the roles, there just aren't enough open positions to go around.
Now, we're also entering warm weather months. You know, before the pandemic, nobody thought twice about being cooped up in an office during the summer. But after remote work in 2020, 2021, and most of 2022, that could be hard for some workers to go back to.
No doubt. And what I see companies doing is kind of offering modified versions of that. I mean, summer Fridays were a thing before the pandemic. There were companies that would say, well, we'll cut out early by policy, not like sneaking away from your desk at 1 o'clock. We'll actually end our workday around lunchtime on Friday. I do see some companies bringing back that benefit. And I also see companies saying, we're going to be sort of an office first model, but we will also offer you the freedom to work for extended periods of time from a remote location at some point during the year. And a lot of people, of course, will choose to do that during the summer. So you might say for 2 or 3 weeks, you can go travel someplace. Maybe a week of it is a proper vacation, and maybe the rest of it is remote work. We do see that kind of flexibility. I think what managers are trying to get back control of is this idea that that's going to be the norm now.
All right. But it's not just being able to do your work in your favorite slippers or getting dinner ready at a reasonable hour. For many workers, there are real personal finance benefits to being able to work remotely. How are companies navigating that?
One of the things I see, JR, is companies saying you need to be in the office, but not necessarily the 8, 10, 12-hour day that you were before. And that's a big difference for folks, right? Because some of the frustration that workers had is, let's just say, commute time. Well, if company says, all right, we need you to come into the office today, but you don't have your first in-person meeting until 11 a.m., well, maybe you can start your workday at home and wait out the rush hour traffic and then come in at a time that's better for you. Or at the other end of the day, you need to pick up your child from daycare or school at 3 o'clock, and instead of having to pay for after school childcare, okay, go ahead and do that. You got to duck out of the office this afternoon, go pick up your kid, save a few bucks on that, and then log back in when you get a little bit later. So what I see is companies saying, yes, you do have to be in the building, but we can be a little bit more flexible on exactly when during the day those hours happen.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers. Callum, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, JR.
And that's it for your Money Briefing this week. Your Money Briefing is produced by Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.